Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
BlogTalkRadio.com. I gotta tell you, a lot has changed with me over the past month. Doing a lot of comedy shows, was on set for the Batman Superman film. Had to put that out there for you. Had a great time shooting that a few weeks ago. Just as so many great things been really taking place with these films, a lot of these auditions, I was on set the other night, a couple nights ago to be exact, for this short film called 90 Days. I want to take the opportunity to send a special shout out to the likes of Christopher Thomas, my good friend DeLorean Cotton, and everybody that was on set. Everybody that was on set that day, that night, we had a great time. That was so much fun to do. It was my only appearance in the film. I played the EMT. I'm looking forward to seeing the film come out later this year. It's going to be great. So special shout outs to all those guys that was on set, production crew, actors, everybody did a fantastic job. So thank you. Thank you all who have been supporting me all the way. Rocket is back with a vengeance. And it continues. It continues. We got some other things that are going to be coming up, so be on the lookout. Tonight's show, for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to reflect a little bit on NBA Finals, which will be kicking off tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on ABC. And it's a rematch between the Heat and Spurs. Does that surprise anybody, really? No, not really. I think that it had to happen. I think it needed to happen. Think about this. If you watched last year's finals, and I really didn't watch the whole thing, at the end, the aftermath left you with a bad taste in your mouth, especially if you're a Spurs fan. If you're a fan that really didn't care for either team, you watched it, you felt like, wow, San Antonio should have won this in Game 6. And they had a chance to win the Game 7, too. So because of that, a rematch had to happen. I felt like the Spurs were probably not going to bounce back from it, but they did. They went on this year to have the NBA's best record. They played even better basketball than they did last year. And they had a few tough moments in the postseason. Going up against Dallas in the first round, a team that they had swept during the regular season, pushed them to 7 games. And they had a tough one against OKC in the conference finals, of course. They made Portland look like a JV team for the most part. OKC really challenged them, especially games 3 and 4 when Serge Ibaka came back from what was supposed to be an injury that was going to keep him out for the rest of the postseason. And that game 6 was a thriller. It was a thriller. There were so many big moments that happened in that fourth quarter and in that overtime. And the Spurs went on to win after being swept by OKC in the regular season. And I think that they were motivated. Seeing Miami topple Indiana in 6 games the previous night, they needed to win. They did not want to have to come back for game 7. They were going to come back home anyway, but you wanted to finish off the Thunder as quickly as possible. Give your guys about 4 or 5 days to rest. Get ready for tomorrow night because you're going to need it. Tony Parker didn't play the second half of that game, but he is expected to play, and I expect him to play even better than he did in last year's finals. Kawhi Leonard, Manu Ginobili, those guys are going to have to really step up because they had some bad mishaps down the stretch, especially in that game 6. Both of those guys each missed a crucial free throw, which would have put the game out of reach if it had not been for Ray Allen's amazing three-point shot. And it was an amazing three-point shot. Say what you want about him, but it was a big, big shot. So because of that, Miami held on to win game 6, came back a little bit, and ended up winning game 7, and now they're holding up the trophy. If you're the Spurs, you feel like that should be your trophy that you should be holding up. So with that in mind, tomorrow night, it's going on. It's going down. Rematch, game 1. This time the Spurs are going to have the home court, games 1 and 2 in San Antonio, games 3, 4, and 5 in Miami. And if there are going to be games 6 and 7, right back in San Antonio again. We got some birthdays. We got a few birthdays that we want to pass along to you. Happy 24th birthday to Greg Monroe, a guy I've been watching closely these last few years, being a Detroiter. He was drafted by the Pistons in 2010. He was the 7th pick overall. Most notably, he's the NBA All-Rookie Second Team in 2011. He's done some phenomenal things in Georgetown, coming out of there at the university. And he came off a year where, well, it wasn't as good as he was the previous season. Let's just put it that way. Averaging 15.2 points per game, 8 points less than what he 0.8 points less than what he averaged last year. And I think the addition of Josh Smith had a lot to do with that. Now, Monroe's a free agent, supposedly, and that's we talk about what's going to happen with him. Now that they got a new coach in Stan Van Gundy, they're going to have a new GM. Van Gundy is also going to be the team president, basically filling in for Joe Dumars, who stepped down at the end of last year. I'm kind of anxious to see how this is all going to work out. I don't want to see Greg Monroe leave as a Pistons fan. I really don't. But I do think that you have to make a decision which is best for the team, which is best for the organization. If it was up to me, I probably would have never brought in Josh Smith. I think that was $58 million that they're probably, well, Joe Dumars is going to be kicking himself for the rest of his life, and maybe even the organization for allowing that to happen. But because of that, I do think that in this case, something's got to give. Period. Something's got to give. So, nonetheless, happy 24th birthday to Greg Monroe. And this guy is going to continue to get better. I anticipate that he's going to get better. I think he's going to do some phenomenal things, assuming that he stays in Detroit. Keep that front court together because they can be stronger and they can be a whole lot better, especially with Andre Drummond, who is the face of the franchise now. Work this out if you're the coaching staff. See what you can get this offseason. See what's out there and just try and work with it. Now, you're not going to have a first-round pick this year, unfortunately. And I'll get to that a little bit later. But I do think that something has to happen. Something has to happen. But anyway, happy 24th birthday to Greg Monroe and many happy returns. Happy 51st birthday to Xavier McDaniel, the X-Man. What's not to know about the guy? He played 13 years, fourth pick overall in 1985, coming out of Wichita State, drafted by the Seattle Supersonics. Also spent some time with Phoenix, New York, Boston, played overseas in Greece for a little bit, came back and finished his career with the New Jersey Nets. He was a one-time All-Star, two-time NBC Player of the Year, All-NBA Rookie First Team in 1986. Finished his career with a 15.6 points per game average, 6.1 career rebounds, and 2.0 career assists per game. He's also done some things participating in Slam Ball, where he coached one of their teams back in 2003. He's also been on other shows such as Pros vs. Joes. And he went on to do a few... a little bit of television as well, appearing in television shows such as Married with Children, and just establishing himself in television broadcasting a little bit as well. But happy birthday to him, and many more happy returns. And I gotta say, he was good. The guy was really, really good back in the day. Really, really good. By far, he was really, really good. We also have some breaking news, and if you didn't hear about it today, you're going to hear it from Rocket. As expected, we all kind of saw that this was coming. Colin Kaepernick was about to get his money. He got his money. 6-year extension worth $126 million. I think that's deserving because he did make the 49ers more explosive on offense with his play at the quarterback position in terms of the whole read option, how he plays the quarterback position, how he does things with his arms and with his legs. Now, if you go back to 2011, when they brought in Jim Harbaugh to be their head coach, Alex Smith was on the brink of losing his job. He had gone 5 or 6 years without really doing anything. He finally had his breakout year, throwing 17 touchdowns in just 3 interceptions that entire season, managing the game a lot, to where that offense was really starting to showcase something as expected. Next thing you know, 2012, about halfway through the season, Alex Smith gets hurt. Colin Kaepernick has no choice but to step in, takes over in a Monday night game against Chicago, And the guy just stunned the whole world. Everybody that watched that night saw something. By far. By far. Now, considering that prior to his contract signing, he was making less money than Blaine Gabbert. The man needed that extension. Period. It had to happen. Now, Adam Schefter from ESPN had reported it that it's $126 million, with the record $61 million guaranteed. This contract is going to last through the 2020 season. Despite his off-the-field situation with the whole issue that happened in Miami, Florida, whatever, because I don't know the full details, but what I can tell you is that this is a signing that the 49ers needed to make. He is a franchise quarterback. He's going to be a franchise quarterback for a long time. You got to keep the guy. Out of their quarterbacks, he gives you the best chance to win. And you basically dump Alex Smith in favor of him. So why not give him a big extension? Me personally, I have no problem with the contract signing. None. He is their guy going forward. You keep that offense together. You've got Anquan Boldin still. You still got Michael Crabtree, Vernon Davis is coming back. Frank Gore is still there. You brought in Stevie Johnson in a trade from Buffalo. Stevie Johnson is a quick receiver, capable of being explosive, can catch the deep ball. I expect San Francisco's offense to be even better. And if I'm Seattle, I'm worried. In fact, I'm already going to go out on record, and I'm going to pick San Francisco to win the NFC West. I think Seattle's going to end up like Baltimore. You lose a lot of pieces in the offseason. It's hard to maintain what you did. You're going to lose a lot more games than you did. They might lose one or two games at home this upcoming season. That's the way I look at it. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year, because anytime you lose a lot of players, and it's not like they brought in a lot of players from other teams either. They had to spend a lot of their offseason re-signing some of their core players to contracts. They did that, but they weren't able to bring back everybody. And I think because of that, that's going to hurt them a little bit, because losing guys like Golden Tate is going to hurt your offense. Meaning Russell Wilson is going to be asked to do more, a whole lot more. And because of that, and that factor alone, every team that plays the Seahawks this upcoming season is going to scheme to stop you if you're Russell Wilson. If you're Marshawn Lynch, they're going to stack the line and try and force you into an uncomfort zone, period. And so I think that because of that, I think there's going to be even more pressure. There may not be any more pressure on any Super Bowl winning team we've seen to come back and repeat. And let's face it, some of the Super Bowl teams we've seen win over the years didn't make the playoffs the following season. It happened with the Giants twice. It happened with Baltimore. And it also happened years ago with a few other teams as well. So the point that I'm trying to make is, if you're San Francisco, it's a great day. Period. It's a great day. You got your quarterback going forward for a long time, and that's the way it should be. That being said, I expect the 49ers to come back and win the NFC West, and I expect them to come out of the NFC in the Super Bowl. I'm just going to pick them. Me being a Detroit Lions fan, Detroit still might not be ready because of the new coaching staff. It's going to be an adjustment period a little bit, but I expect them to win. I expect them to get into the playoffs this year because of the new coaching staff. But I think San Francisco is definitely more Super Bowl ready. Definitely. They were close 2 years ago. They were close getting back to the Super Bowl last year. I think they're going to do it as far as like getting back to the Super Bowl. Me personally, I would like to see a San Francisco-Denver Super Bowl matchup. I picked it to happen the last 2 years. It almost happened last year. Should have happened 2 years ago. I think it's going to happen this year. And let's And let's go back. Let's rewind the clock back historically. The one and only time that we saw the 49ers and Broncos play each other in the Super Bowl was back in 1990. We all know what happened in that Super Bowl, don't we? San Francisco destroyed Denver and John Elway. 55-10. That is still, to this day, the biggest blowout in Super Bowl history. That was a 45-point beatdown. That game was over at halftime. That tells you everything you need to know about that game. And so I would like to see that happen. Of course, it's different now because those, you know, two completely different teams, that happened years ago. But the point that I'm making is I had always wanted to see a 49ers-Broncos Super Bowl matchup again. I felt like it should have happened again in the late 90s. It didn't. It almost did back in 1997. Didn't quite happen. I think it's going to happen this upcoming year. Now, I hadn't always been a 49ers fan, but I do support the organization, period. So, I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen. Now, moving back on to the NBA Finals, like I said, last year, most people say it was a thriller. I didn't watch all the games, obviously, because of my film schedule. I'm not going to be able to watch the entire NBA Finals this year because of my film schedule and my comedy schedule and everything else I'm doing. But I do think that it's going to come right down to the wire again. This time, I think San Antonio will have the advantage because they're going to be at home. I think they can win this series in six games because I think they're much more motivated. But I think it's going to come down to that game seven, and I think they're going to win because, for one, they're going to be at home. Let's face it, when you're Miami last year, having that game seven in the conference finals against Indiana at home helped you. Having that game seven at home against San Antonio helped you. Hell, even having game six and seven now, because you were down 3-2 coming back to Miami, and you won those two games, and you got lucky doing it. So let's just be honest. You got lucky. Now let's see you do it again. Let's see you do a three-peat. Four straight finals appearances. Fifth in the past 8 years. Let's see you do it again. And if you're San Antonio, you want to cement yourselves a little bit too. If you're Tim Duncan, you're going for your fourth championship ring. You're Tony Parker, you're going for your third. You're Manu Ginobili, you're going for your third. If you're Greg Popovich, you're going for your fourth as a head coach. And if you're Tim Duncan, you're at the end of your career. You've been playing about 18 years. This could be your going out party right here. And I've always respected his game. I haven't always been a fan of him, but I've always respected Tim Duncan's game. He is the best power forward this game has ever seen. And the most dominant power forward this game has ever seen. I got a lot of respect for Tim Duncan, and I think that in this case, they're going to win. I think they're going to do it this year. Having a home court is going to help San Antonio. Keep in mind, they had the home court against New York in 1999, won. Home court against New Jersey in 2003, won. Home court against Detroit in 2005, won. Still heartbreaking to this day, but that's a different story for a different day. Home court against LeBron in Cleveland in 2007, won. The one time they didn't have the home court in the finals was last year, and they didn't win. And I think that hurt them. That was the main benefactor. Now, with that being in mind, I expect the Spurs to do it. They've never lost the finals matchup when they've had the home court, period. I think they're going to do it this year. Spurs in seven. Six would be nice, but I'm going to take them in seven. You heard it from me. Whether I watch the finals or not. Because honestly, I really don't care that much because I really don't care for these two teams. But I will say I've always respected the Spurs organization. I've always respected Greg Popovich. I've always respected Tony Parker. Definitely, I've always respected Tim Duncan. This is their year to do it. This is their year to make up. This is redemption. Redemption versus legacy. it's going to happen. I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to do it. So I want to take this opportunity to say to everybody, thank you so much for supporting the Rocket Sports Breakdown Project. We're going to be back on air next week. Hopefully we'll be back in our two-hour format. Yours truly, Rocket, will keep you posted. In the meantime, tomorrow night, yours truly is expected to be at Laugh Tracks in Novi again. So if you want to come on out, come on out to a comedy show. You'll have a great time. You'll definitely have a great time. And I also want to take this opportunity and send a special thank you to Real Style, the casting agency, for booking me to be an extra, to be a part of the Batman Superman film project. Before then, that was the last time yours truly was on air. And had a great time. Had an outstanding time being a part of that project. It was so much fun to do. And thank you. Thank you to everybody who supports the show. Thank you to everybody who, you know, just comes out and does what they do. You know, you just go out there, you accomplish your goals. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Just give you an update on some of yours truly's activity. Recently, just have been having a lot of film auditions. This past weekend, I was at the MPI Film School in Troy. Had some their open casting calls and callbacks. So I will keep you guys posted, of course, like always. Also, I had an audition last week for another upcoming film, which is supposed to start shooting at the end of this month. Hopefully, yours truly will be a part of that. Like I said, I was just on set a couple nights ago for 90 days. That project has definitely been rolling. And again, special shout out to my man, Christopher Thomas, who I worked with for the first time. DeLorean Cotton, who I've been in a film with for the first time. That's my homeboy. We go back, man. We go back to about 5 or 6 years. We've known each other for a minute. I know him and his sister. I worked with his sister before in the Robin Givens play that we did, the Christmas production we did a few years ago. So again, thank you. Thank you. Tomorrow, like I said, Laugh Track Comedy Club, yours truly will be in there. And just keep up the great work. Keep up the great work. I also want to send a special shout out to one of my best and great friends, my homegirl, Creative. She's out there doing some great things, too. She's got my support. She's always going to have Rocket support. And, again, keep up the great work, sweetie. You're doing phenomenal. Hopefully your book gets published. Can't wait to pick up a copy and check it out. Special shout-out to my homeboy Giles, everybody. This is Rocket signing off, y'all, in the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Once again, we'll be back on air next week. Could be 2 hours. We'll see. And we'll have more coverage of a lot of things that's going to be going on. So big ups to everybody. Y'all keep up the great work. Till next time, Rocket Nation, get ready for a power trip. See you soon.